You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 1 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, no Bart Scott. He will be on the K Show today. See, he's big timing us. You know, they needed somebody to come in and
Han.
And step on the show and step into the show and help them out for the day. So Bart was agreed to do that. And I just thought, okay, so he'll just do 6 straight hours of radio. That's fine, right? No. Now he's big time enough. So instead, you know what you get today? You get Han Solo today. That's what you get today. Some old school Han Solo. And that means the buffet is open. Grab your plates. Get in line. 800-919-3776 is the number. And of course, you can get us on Twitter and Instagram. See, I did it wrong. @BartNon. Yeah. And Instagram. And we also still did IG Live.
We'll do it live!
At 12:30. And I told a little story on IG Live about how you need to be aware of the way things are covered media-wise and all that stuff. And I'll get into all that throughout the show. So 2 hours with you, me and you, on a Monday. A little hot. Stay inside. Get the AC up if you can, if you got one. If not, get a fan. If not, get a cool rag. Put it around your neck. It always works. It does. It's amazing. But it can. Cool rag around your neck. Sit back, chill, listen any way you can, and just try to stay as cool as possible. We'll go with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I mean, the obvious here thing to me is we have live sports all week now. We had it over the weekend. This is it. Last week was our last week of talking about life without live sports. And we hope it's not short-lived. We hope it's the beginning of getting back to normal, as we had over the weekend Yankees-Mets scrimmages, which were televised and did very well in the ratings. I mean, the best ratings, the greatest ratings. Everybody watched, winning in the ratings. And it was because we got to see not just an indomitable Yankee team that just looks so good when they're healthy, but we got to see both local teams play, and we got to see some live action. And the broadcasters as well. It was good to hear all the broadcasters from both networks, SNY and YES, back to work getting it done. That's great. Wednesday, we'll have NBA scrimmages beginning. And then, of course, Thursday, opening night. And you can hear Yankees Nationals opening night right here. Right here, 98.7 ESPN. So you don't want to turn it off. K Show leading right into that. Are you kidding me? So you got that happening. So as we're watching, of course, these games, you got to think that, okay, it's different. And you knew it was going to be different. You knew it. And it's not a surprise. There's no one in the building. We already understood that. We've seen what it looks like in other sports. So we got that sense already that it might be a little strange. But was it? Because, I mean, aside from getting used to the empty seats, and it was kind of funny to see some home runs just like land in the bleachers and then just bounce around. No one's running to get it. You know, that's stuff a little odd. But did it take away from the broadcast? I don't think so. I didn't think so. You had crowd noise pumped in both stadiums, Citi Field and Yankee Stadium. And again, it was all right. I'll tell you what, who has the most pressure on them? Whoever it is, right? The man or woman who is handling those buttons that you have to press, where the crowd goes from like the white noise kind of murmuring to, you know, a rise in anticipation noise that you hear when the ball is in play, when also there might be that kind of reduced murmur if something the other team does, right? The hush or whatever it is. There was one time I saw a foul ball, and it was a line off the bat, so you heard the anticipation roar, and then once you realize that thing was going foul, it like cut off real quick, like whoops. Like what you don't want is also to have like the opponent, you know, the opposing pitcher strike out the home batter, and then hear the crowd roar and like, oop, I hit the wrong button. Like, that's the kind of stuff. So there's some pressure there. You want to get that right because you don't want the players getting mad. But Gerrit Cole, man, I love that. Already, like, my favorite Yankee. I mean, there's no question Gerrit Cole's my favorite Yankee. And he talked about how, as a pitcher, when you're locked in, you're not really, like, he said he's not the type that looks into the crowd. You see that sometimes where a pitcher between pitches will sometimes look up. He's not really looking at anything, just looking away for the most part, not focused on one thing. But some pitchers do that. They just kind of look around. What's going on in the stadium? You get caught up in the moment. But Cole talked about how you do notice it a little bit, but not too much. Because once you're locked in, it's competition. I think as a viewer, I felt the same way. Once there was certain bat, I wanted to watch Aaron Judge. How does he look? How does he feel? How does Stanton look? You know, both of them went yard. Actually, Judge was just mashing the ball all weekend. You know, how does Gary look behind the plate? Is he still a little lazy? Has he gotten better? All that stuff. I mean, there's all different things you're looking at. And once you start watching the game for the game, you're not paying nearly as attention to the fact that there's no one there. The cardboard cutout thing is kind of cool at Citi Field. I'm not going to completely say it's stupid, but I don't think it's necessary. In fact, I think the YES Network already showed you that you can take advantage of that space by putting up a really large green screen and putting ads on it. And you might see more of that than you will cutouts. But let me get back to Gerrit Cole real quick. And again, 800-919-3776 for those. Like I give you my take. I actually found it wasn't nearly as distracting as I thought, having the piped-in crowd noise and also having empty seats. Didn't really bother me. Now, did it not feel like a big-time game? Of course. Like, you know, when you see crowds, when you hear the real crowd, it definitely feels bigger time. But it didn't take away from me watching the game. But on Gerrit Cole, he spoke after Friday's scrimmage. He didn't play against the Mets all weekend. He had his workout on Friday. And just listening to him talk, he is like, this is the player you want to have. This is the kind of athlete you want to be. It's this guy. Because he's a complete nerd about his sport. Absolutely nerds out. He loves it. He wants to know all the details. He loves talking it. He's the guy, and because he's so damn good, that you love to have in your clubhouse for younger pitchers and younger players to be around, because he's willing to talk about his craft. And in fact, he's just as curious about learning as he is in teaching. You love having guys like that around. And yet, he's also competitive as anything. I mean, you see that burn when he makes a mistake, and they're rare, but when he does, you see it in his eyes. Like, he burns out there. You love that kind of stuff. Like, that's what you want. And it made me think, we're excited about Gleyber Torres and his potential. We're excited about Aaron Judge, and if he's healthy, can he get back to that guy we remember when he's healthy, how dangerous of a hitter he is? And we saw it this weekend. We just saw it. You make one mistake, he's taken out of the park. And you can get excited about those types of things with the Yankees. But when you have a guy like Gerrit Cole, not just for what he is as a pitcher, but just everything about him as an athlete. And then you have DJ LeMahieu, who we haven't seen yet, but we know what he's about. Another guy, pros pro, unbelievably talented, kind of low-key. But you can just see, he just, like, DJ LeMahieu is like that quintessential, like, baseball kind of player. Doesn't really want attention, doesn't need it, not into all the, you know, the frivolous stuff. But yet, the guy is a pro, and I mean really good, and he knows it, confident. Watches the game with a different kind of eye, right? Discerning eye. When you have guys like that in your clubhouse, you got something special. And the Yankees, I think, have something special. Now, they got to figure out a lot of different things with their lineup. I mean, Talkman's made a case, hasn't he, for fourth outfielder? But then again, Clint Frazier, masked and all, which, again, I admire that. Shoe game, by the way, off the charts. You see those cleats? Those were sweet. Those, I think those are Jordans, right? Those are the Jordan 1s. He showed you something. And then there's, of course, Miguel Andujar, who's like, hey, by the way, got to find a place for me because all I do is hit the ball. And he does. So they've got decisions to make there, and that's a good problem to have. On the Mets side of things, I wouldn't take anything away. I wouldn't take anything too much out of the weekend. I wouldn't start panicking. The three relievers they'll have at the back of the bullpen did okay. They did fine. I don't think you have to worry at all there. The kid that played third base for them, Moroff, he's not going to play third base. But the Mets do still have an issue at third base. It's pretty clear, right? They still have to figure out that position because they're still piecemealing in that spot. But, you know, I don't get caught up in the errors and stuff like that. I'm not worried nearly as much about any of that stuff. They were fine. They're absolutely fine. They didn't show you everything that they have either. But it's interesting. And I'll tell you what, it leads me into something else now. I looked at the Yankees, and maybe it was just because we haven't seen them. I feel like they still are our best chance, New York. Now, you guys have heard me, and again, this is a throwback show. We're doing a little Han Solo today with Bart off. He's going to be on the K-Show today. And you guys who listen to me at night know I bring this up a lot because it's true. We have not won a championship in New York since the Giants won the Super Bowl. That's 8 years. And everybody might think, well, that's not so bad. It's 8 years. Some cities go, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Look, Cleveland, look how long they waited to win a championship. And we're not Cleveland. Like, that's the thing about where we are right now, right? Like, the Yankees are, I think, what New Yorkers want to believe New York should be like in all sports. It's like the best team money can buy, classic, iconic, powerful, you know, dominating, all those things, right? That's what you think. That's New York. The Yankees represent what we think New York should look like from the outside. But instead, we're more like the Mets. We're kind of hilariously average, kind of goofy, you know, got a couple of, you know, pretty much overrated, although you still have like an icon or two, you know, you got a little something, but for the most part, it's like a lot of poor management and a lot of wasted money. You know, it's like not as good as you think and, you know, hoping for a return to some, you know, past time where there was some shine on the city. It's like what we want our sports to be in New York is like what the Brooklyn Bridge represents, right? Instead, we're more like the BQE. Yeah, you know, let's be honest. I mean, and I'm not saying it because all our teams do suck. This is ridiculous. So Elias Sports Bureau, who puts together all this numbers, right? They put this thing out that it was everything I've been railing about going back to October 2018 on Han Solo at night when I was flipping out about how we have just succumbed to this idea that we're just a city of rebuilding and all our teams are bad and we haven't won a championship in 8 years. And we're like, but wait a minute. The Mets got to a World Series, also ran. The Rangers got to a Stanley Cup Finals, also ran. So now what? Now that's okay. So that's what we're going to do now? Now we're also ran? That's what we are the city of? With the city of participation trophy? Come on now. It's New York. You've got two of everything and three hockey teams. How are you possibly this bad for this long? So Elias says, since the Giants beat the Patriots in 2012, that February 2012, New York City area teams, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL, have completed a combination of, with all those teams, 72 seasons without a championship. 72. That's twice as long as the next longest drought in the last 100 years. 72. Previously, it was 36. 03 to 07 was a bit of a drought. That's 40 years. All right. 62 to 69 was a drought. Again, that's it. There weren't nearly as many teams in 62 to 69, as you know. There was no Islanders. There were no Devils. The Mets had just appeared, and the Jets also had just appeared. So then the Knicks and the Mets won championships then. And actually, the Nets weren't there in 62 to 69 either. The Nets were an ABA team. Showed up later. So this is what we're dealing with right now. A whole generation of fans who live in New York they don't understand the level of mediocrity that we have reached here. And that's why it feels like the Yankees our only hope. I think they are. Who else is close? Don't tell me who can build towards a championship. Tell me who's close. Give me that team, other than the Yankees, that you feel like could be on the verge of a championship. If you tell me the Rangers, that's a young team. Now, anybody can win the cup, as we know, especially in the restart. Everybody's got a great chance to win the Stanley Cup. But if you're putting your money on anybody, are you putting your money on the Rangers or Islanders to win the cup in the restart? I'd love to see it. Of course, I'd love to see the Islanders do it. But am I putting my hard-earned money on them? No. No way. If I gave you all the teams that are playing right now, now, again, the Knicks don't count, and of course you wouldn't put your money on them. They don't count right now, and neither do the Devils. Take them out of the equation because they're not part of the restarts and also the coming up NFL season. Who is the team that you would put your money on, your hard-earned money on, to win a championship? The Yankees are the runaway favorites compared to everybody else. Are they not? And then after that, what are you thinking? What could you possibly think when you look forward there? So it's the biggest concern about what's happening with our teams in the city. Is there's an ownership change now with the Mets. There's changes usually at coaching. You'll get that with the Knicks. The Nets might have that change with the coaching. The Mets just had another change with the coaching. The Jets might have to have a change in the coaching if Adam Gase doesn't get it right. I mean, if the Jets are bad this year and Sam Darnold doesn't look like he's making steps towards becoming the quarterback that they drafted him to become, then Adam Gase has got to go. They can't wait any longer. You can't waste another year of this kid's career. He's got to go. There's so much pressure on him. The Giants just made a coaching change. Joe Judge has zero experience as a head coach at any level. Any level. And they made him a head coach at the NFL level. It doesn't mean he's going to fail. I don't know what he's going to do. But they didn't hire somebody that comes in like a Ron Rivera or a McCarthy that tells you, well, like, this guy's got a resume. He's done it before. So you can feel pretty confident about what he's doing. They didn't hire a guy like that. So how are you supposed to believe in what they're doing? All that's left of the Yankees, once again. And it's been a long time. 8 years without a championship with all these teams. So that's what we're looking forward to as we get this restart. We're excited about pro sports coming back. We're excited about the prospect of watching live action, which we're going to have. We have that right now. But what do we really have is now we get to the nitty-gritty. Come on, let's get into it again. You know, we spent the last 20 weeks, by the way, this is week 20 for us, out of the studio. 20 weeks out of the studio. 20 weeks without pro sports in New York, other than a draft. That's it. The only live action we have had is the draft. And then we spent a lot of time on The Last Dance. Where are we right now? That's where we are. So we've done a lot with a little to talk about sports, and we've talked about the past. But right now, it's talking about the future. That's what it's time to do right now. Look forward. What do you have to look forward to now that New York sports is plugged back in and up and running again? What do you have to look forward to? And what team do you believe in the most? I think it's pretty clear. There's only one team that you could put your hard-earned money on and feel like you've got a shot. And that's the Yankees. Everyone else is so far away. Far away, not even close. And you can make a case if you want for the Mets. You could try. And you could say maybe Brooklyn with Kevin Durant and Kyrie next year have a chance. But next year, now you're telling me there's always next year. Now we become the Cubs. When did we become Chicago? This is what, you see what I mean? This is what you do to yourself. Well, what about next year? There's always next year. How about next year? How about now? How long do we have to wait? How about now? Our teams are going through rebuilds. Our teams are constantly making transition, constantly making changes. But the one constant are the Pinstripes, are the Yankees. And all they've got to do is stay healthy. Because to me, what we saw over this weekend, what we saw against not the best of the best that the Mets are going to put out there on the mound, but still, you're going to see a lot of those guys on the mound. What did they do? They demolished what is the one strength of the Mets. Pitching. Demolished it. Completely destroyed it. That says a lot. Because the one thing the Mets can do is pitch. So you have the Yankees. What else do you got? Again, 800-919-3776. And also, again, as you watch the games, you take away from watching baseball with no fans, baseball with, you know, piped in crowd noise, baseball without the ambiance of having a home crowd or any intensity at all. That's what you watched. I gave you my take. It didn't really bother me. It's fine. I'm actually now really curious to watch an NBA game, even scrimmages that start on Wednesday. Curious to watch that. What's that going to look like? What's that going to sound like? Makes me even more like curious about it. Does it make you focus more on the game? A little more in tune in the game now? You know, like the game broadcast directors don't have to worry about showing a crowd shot anymore. No reason to. No reason to watch any of that. Now, keep it on the game. Focus on the game. Pay attention to the game. And maybe the game will be just as entertaining. 800-919-3776 is the number. That's Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart. Let's take James in Spring Valley. Start us off today. James.
Hey, Han Solo. What's going on, man?
What's happening?
What's going on? Not much. I'm surprised you didn't put the Islanders as the team you would trust. They're Barry Trotz, the system, Lou Lamoriello. I'm surprised you didn't put that team.
I don't trust the team, but I don't trust the goaltending.
All right, fair enough.
Okay. That's it. And they don't have an offense that can outscore it. So I don't trust the goaltending for the Islanders. I just still think it's an issue, which is why they had to get Sorokin over here and sign him. But you won't see him till next season. So I love the team. I love the system. I think Trot's a great coach, and he's got a great system that could do damage in the playoff structure that they have right now. But it's always about your goalie, and both of those guys, to me, have had shaky enough moments for me to worry if I can count on them.
Fair enough. Now let's talk about the Yankees. Now I think the Yankees have to win the World Series. You got Gerrit Cole. This is the team that you feel confident of. But here's the question: who is the team that you feel is the biggest threat to the Yankees? Is it still the Astros, the Dodgers? Which team is the biggest threat to them?
Dodgers. Nobody else. No. The Astros. See, the key with the Astros. And thanks, James. Good to hear from you. The key with the Astros is going to be the idea that there are no crowds. You talk about a saving grace, and once again, how cheaters win. I mean, doesn't it just piss you off? Like, they should be getting crushed this year in every building. 81 games, they should be getting booed off the field. But they're not. They won't hear anything. Not a peep. Nothing. And that's going to benefit them because they're still a good roster. Not as good as they used to be, but they're still very good. And with that in mind, they skate through this thing. And by 21, will anybody even remember? Will anybody even care to remember? People be so happy to be back in the building, they might not even bother booing them anymore. Now, when they come to Yankee Stadium, they'll probably hear it. They probably will. But that's it. They were supposed to get crushed in every building they went into. And it's not going to happen for them now. And they could benefit from that. EJ in New Jersey. EJ.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
You said there's no good teams in New York. What about the Rangers and the Islanders?
I mentioned the Islanders and their system. I worry about their goaltending. When I say there's no good teams in New York, I mean I'm talking about winning a championship now. I'm talking about raising the stakes. And I don't think either one are close. I think they're on their way, but I don't think they're close. So I think the Rangers still have to get a little bit older, but this will be a great experience for them. And they obviously think they found the goalie of the future in Shesterkin, and this will be a great test to see if he can handle what is going to be playoff intensity. Now, no crowds, but still playoff intensity. So it'll be a great test for him and a great way to see how he holds up. But when you talk about the Rangers and their ability to win a championship, be a championship caliber team, I wouldn't say they are right now. They could be getting closer to it, but they're not right now.
Well, you also said no one was close, but I think if you want to compare any teams, the Rangers are probably the closest to the Yankees as being.
Rangers closest? Not the Nets? I would say Brooklyn's closer.
You think so?
Well, you got two of the best players in the game on their roster. So that's why I would say that. Once again, hockey's difficult. Hockey's the hardest championship to win. I'll say it again. The Stanley Cup is the hardest championship to win. You can argue with me all you want. You'll lose every time. It's because it is the one sport where there's the most parity now. Everybody has a chance. Injuries change everything, and goaltending completely changes the game as well. One more. Sully in the Poconos. Sully.
How we doing there, Mr. Han?
What's up?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Rangers. You know, you could pick your Nets, but you know what? Your two boys don't want to play. So
they don't want to play now, but they will want to play when we they will want to play once we get to December and they start the new season. Then they'll be ready to play.
That's if and when. And when I see them on the court, then I might believe it. But other than that, you know, when it comes to the Rangers, yeah, we might be a little bit young, but the one thing that we're stacked on is goaltending. And yes, if you look at the first round, when we go through Carolina, I think we'd be smart enough to start Lundqvist. I think the guy's got the history, and not only that, he's got the experience, and he knows Carolina.
The only problem there, though, Sully, is if you start with the king and he fails, then you go to the kid. If the kid can't handle it, how do you go back to Henrik after he's already failed? You see what I mean? Like, that makes it dicey to me. I think you go with the kid, and if the kid fails, then you go to the vet, and then you can rely on him. And thanks for the call, Sully. Look, you know, I know Ranger fans are going to get all upset because I'm not saying they're a championship contender. They're not. It doesn't mean they aren't heading towards something. I think they have a great coach, and they got a smart GM and a really smart front office. They're doing things the right way. The Rangers are what the Knicks should become. At least I'm hoping they become. That's what I'm hoping. And they're in the same damn building. But the bottom line is when we're talking about ending a drought, the team that has the best chance to do it are the Yankees, and there's no one close. No one. 8 years. This is the longest and worst run in New York sports in a very long time. The longest and worst we've been through. And I'm just saying, now we're happy. The restart. We're back. We can talk sports again. And that means this topic has to be the first one we bring up. Why our teams suck and why we've got to get out of this. Tweets are good. Getting the tweets at Alan Hahn, also at Barton Hahn on Twitter. And all the reactions to this, as we're talking about, you know, we watched Mets and Yankees this weekend, and the ratings were through the roof on Saturday night for the first game, which is a good sign. It means we were starving for something live, even though it didn't count. These were scrimmages, but yet it was live baseball. It was live sports. It was in New York, and we got into it. And, you know, no crowd in place. I didn't care. I really didn't care. Canned noise, you know, the canned crowd noise, and stuff, it didn't really bother me. Got me more focusing on the game a little bit. Maybe for now I'll like it. Maybe when the games really matter, it might bother me. I don't know. Not sure. But all I know is that I enjoyed watching it. But now that we're back, and we've got opening day on Thursday, we've got, and again, we'll have that Yankees National 7 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. You've got NBA scrimmages are going to start, I think, on Wednesday. You'll have that. And we're getting closer and closer. NHL next week, we'll have... I mean, literally, in 2 weeks, we're going to have everybody playing. And also, as you're following the NFL saga, as the owners, Shefty's saying the owners are going to meet today around 2 o'clock and start hammering out the details of their return to play and all the protocols that they will have so they can open up their training camps on Monday where the rookies are supposed to start showing up. So that's what they're doing as NFL players are putting out the We Want to Play hashtag, asking a million questions that they obviously should be asking right now about their return to play. What is the NFL's plan? So you'll have training camps pretty soon, it seems. So all that's happening. And now that we're back into sports, and we're not talking about the last dance, and we're not talking about drafts, and we're not talking about old classic games and old debates, we got to talk about some reality. And that is, as Elias Sports Bureau put out, and as I've talked about many times on my shows at night, New York sports has had a horrific run here. 8 years of losing. And I don't mean losing records, of course. I mean not winning a championship. You guys understand, this is the longest we have gone since the Giants won their second Super Bowl. It's the longest New York has gone when you consider all of the teams that are available. It's a collection of 72 seasons. Includes the Devils. All right, we got everybody involved. All the New York area teams. No one's won a title. No one. That's the longest we have gone. 8 years without a title. And that is something, and I mean, that is something that if you're a New York sports fan, we cannot continue to accept. So let's get back into that. We watch the Yankees this weekend, and we look at a team that's got a great chance to win a championship, and they should. They're an exciting team. It's easy to fall in love with this team. They've got everything you could possibly want. Everything. So I love this team, and they've got a shot. But after them, who else? Who else are you feeling? And oh, by the way, before I get back to the calls, 800-919-3776, ESPN, so well-timed, put out an NFL future power rankings projections, all 32 teams for the next 3 years. So they had a panel of experts, ESPN insiders. You have Lewis Riddick, smart guy. Field Yates, Jeremy Fowler, Seth Walder. All right. And they rate all the teams, the quarterback, the remaining roster, the draft, front office, coaching, all of it, right? Graded it all, put it together, and then made a list of who had the highest scores. The number one team are the Baltimore Ravens. Number one team. The Chiefs are actually the second, the number two team, which is kind of amazing if you think about it, right? You got the Niners, the Saints, believe it or not, with an old Drew Brees, and then the Cowboys are the top five. That rounds out the top five. Now, if you want to get to where the local teams are, scrolling, and we're scrolling, and we're scrolling, and
when you
we're
use butt,
scrolling.
You set me up for the butt.
Yeah, we're still scrolling. Sorry, Bart. Still scrolling. Still scrolling. Still scrolling. Yeah, no, we're still... Oh, there we are.
What happened to all the sunlight?
The Jets are ranked 28 out of 32 teams. 28. 28. And the biggest worry they list, what do you think? Adam Gase. The biggest concern is the coach. And that's a big deal. It's your freaking coach. That matters. That's why the Knicks have to hire the right guy. That's why this is a very big week for the Knicks. You got to make sure you get the right guy in here so that the revolving door stops. No more. Do you know, like, since the Giants championship, New York teams are averaging four coaching changes? Average of four coaching changes. In 8 years, four? I can understand two, four. That means you're not getting it right the first three times. You're hoping you got it right now. The Jets are on their third coach since then. Third. And no one seems to think this guy can get the job done. Huge pressure on him. So over the next 3 years, the Jets are considered 28th when it comes to future potential in the league. Where are the Giants? Right below them. 29. What's their issue? Gettleman. Again, leadership. He has to, and what they say here, and this is Lewis Riddick, he has to have nailed the Joe Judge selection as head coach. You got to get that right. A lot of pressure once again on the coach. Got to get that right. You also got to make sure that Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley have everything they need to be successful, because those are the biggest draft picks you made and gigantic decisions when you think about it. Passing on quarterbacks for Saquon. Taking Jones where you took him. I mean, that everything now lies on Gettleman. So it's once again not even about the talent you have on the team, but those who are running the franchise, whether it's the head coach or whether it's your general manager. So the biggest issues with the two local football teams are the fact that there is question marks about their leadership. And that's why teams don't do well. What is one thing you can say about the Yankees? The stability they have in the front office is, there's no other team with that. It's Brian Cashman. For every mistake he makes, and there's been a lot of them, and we overlook them and we don't want to talk about them, that's fine. Because you know why? He's done so many other things right. That it's so easy to, every time you bring up one of the things that you don't like about, well, you know, he did this, he made this mistake, he made that mistake. Why are you doing Stanton? Stanton was a complete disaster. Why would you make that trade, right? Why would you make a decision here and make a decision there? But then it's also, well, wait a minute. Look what else he did. Look at how he got Gleyber Torres. Look at how he gets Garrett Cole, like the white whale. He finally gets the white whale. Look at the bullpen he built. Look at the trades he's made. Look at how he turned the team around when it was time for a rebuild, and he did it like that. So all that stuff still has to factor in. So leadership is everything. And when you don't have confidence in the leadership, you don't have confidence in the future of your franchise. And for ESPN and their experts, the Jets and Giants, not a lot of confidence in their future. 800-919-3776. Rob's in Manhattan. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I guess I'm a glass half full kind of guy, because I know 8 years for a championship's a long, without a championship is a long time, but we've had contending teams in that time, and if I see teams fighting hard in the postseason and giving me a chance to believe, I'm feeling good about it. The Yankees, as you just mentioned, had a rebuild in like record time, to going from too old and unable to compete to being sort of young and exciting and challenging for a championship again. The Rangers, I mean, I don't know. Dolan, I guess he just gets out of the way in hockey, but you know, maybe, you know, they're a really exciting team. And, you know, maybe they wouldn't have made the playoffs this year, but they were certainly trending toward that direction, you know, to be qualifying for playoffs. And once you get in the playoffs in hockey, it's, you know, everyone's got a puncher's chance as long as you get great goaltending and good defense.
That's the caveat, though. That's the caveat, though, Rob. Rob, right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate the optimism. You got to have it. The teams are definitely they definitely bank on your optimism. But I will throw in there that you mentioned how, you know, you've had appearances in the finals. Again, that's a participation trophy, and that's what we've become. We lowered our standards when you do that. You lower your standards. Let's take Jimmy in Staten Island. Jimmy.
Hey, what's going on, Roger? How you doing, brother?
Good.
I honestly, in my opinion, I think that you would definitely – I currently stand with you. I'm automatically with you with the Yankees and Brooklyn. I don't see how people are calling and saying any other New York team besides Brooklyn. That's going to be the closest thing. You have KD, who's 31. You have Kyrie, who's 28, you know, they're 29. You understand? They have a young core. I mean, the Rangers, I think they're a great team. I think they're a young team, but they're going to come with their bumps and bruises.
You're going to learn a lot from the Rangers. You're going to learn a lot from the Rangers in this playoffs and see what they look like, especially their younger guys like Zibanejad, who's really coming into his own. Obviously, Panarin, who's becoming a star. But the most important thing will be Shesterkin and what he looks like in goal. Thanks, Jimmy. I mean, I think, and then the Nets side of things, I think that all eyes are on them. And keep an eye. It's not just going to be Kyrie and KD when they start next season. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a third guy added to that list. You watch. They're going to get one more guy, and that's what's going to make them a very interesting team. Chris in Levittown. Chris.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the opportunity to talk on the show.
I think
one of the reasons why New York teams suck is because the character of New York is changing, and it's changing for the worse. And I don't think great players necessarily want to come play here.
That's interesting, because in baseball, that's not an issue. In the NFL, that's not an issue. It's only an issue when it comes – actually, in hockey, it's not an issue either because the Rangers were able to get Panarin. So the issue only exists – and it didn't exist for the Nets. The only time great players don't want to play in New York is for the Mets and for the Knicks. And I think, you know, you only got to look at their track record. You want to come and win, but you also don't want to be scrutinized the way you are when you play for the Knicks and when you play for the Nets. Mets, I should say. So I don't think anything has changed when it comes to players wanting to play in New York. I just think it's the fact that there's certain teams that have tried too hard to get stars and fall short. Thanks, Chris. Sam is in Queens. Sam.
Hi. Long time listener, first time caller.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out how Boston has four teams, and they're way more successful than New York's eight teams. My best buddy's always teaching me about it. He's a Boston fan. Just want to know how it is that those four teams are always better in the past 15 years.
Sam, I'm telling you, it's a great question. It's basically that, and Boston used to be that place. Other than the Celtics, they couldn't win anything for a long, long time. And thanks for the call, Sam. I appreciate it. And tell your friend to pipe down, because things are going to change pretty quickly. I promise you. All right, but I used to say the same thing. Boston couldn't win anything. Now it's all they do. The Patriots, what they do? They got the coach that the Jets couldn't keep. Why? Because Belichick didn't trust the transition in ownership when the Jets were going through when he took over. He didn't trust things were going to go well, so he left. And he went to New England, where Robert Kraft basically is willing to spend what it takes. He built a beautiful place. So a Patriot place is unbelievable. I know Anthony couldn't wait for me to bring that up. They did a great job with the stadium and what they built there, off the charts. You have all that going on, so you have that owner that is stable. What they did with the Celtics was they built a big three that they did. They got Doc. They were able to figure it out after a long run with the Celtics were terrible for a while. Real bad. After the Bird era, they were really bad. So they got that done. Now they're very competitive. They made a smart decision in hiring a guy like Brad Stevens. Most important thing is you get, you know, again, Danny Ainge. You trust him and you get out of the way. Let him work. Just let him work. Get out of the way. And that's what happens. You know, they're going to make mistakes. You're going to do well, and then you're going to drop off for a bit, and you can't panic when you have a little bit of a reset after some success. That's another big part of it, too. You know, the Bruins, the same thing. They built the team. And what I love about the Bruins is that they are what the city is. They built that Bruins team based on the history. Big, bad Bruins. A big, heavy, nasty team They're not trying to be that small, fast team that everybody in the league wants to be. And that's not who we are. We're the Boston Bruins. We're the big, bad Bruins. And we've got to be that. And that's what I always say. I beg the Knicks. You guys, stop following trends and go with what everybody knows you to be. It's tough, rugged, physical, defensive-minded team. The Knicks have always been good when they have teams like that. Every city, you have to embrace who you are and the identity of your teams, and certain teams do well. And the Bruins did it, and they've done it very well. The Knicks need to do it too. But Boston got it right. They got it right mainly because they got their management in place, and they got their management right. And, of course, the Red Sox. I mean, can Theo come in and run the Mets? I mean, he's done miracles in Boston and in Chicago. Can he come to the Mets now and do the same thing? Let's grab Ira in Staten Island real quick. Ira?
Hey, what's happening, Alan? How are you?
Good.
You know, you're talking about those rankings. You know, I always get a kick out of people ranking it, you know, the best this of all time or, you know, futures. But I understand where they got the Jets at 28. You know, it's almost hard to argue. I think Douglas has them headed in the right direction. I like, you know, potentially what he's done with the roster.
Right.
But you got two big question marks, a quarterback and a head coach like you brought up. I tell you the truth, man, you know, let's play like if this is like a normal year, which it's far from not. But this is just a big step for not only for Gase, but for Donald. Because
I get it. We keep bringing up how it's an important year for Donald. But you could see those on the outside that are critiquing the Jets, it all fingers point at Gase as the reason why you don't have the same amount of confidence in the Jets as you might if someone else was coaching because of the job that Joe has done, that Douglas has done with the roster, and the potential of Sam. I think they're tethered. I think they're tied together. Ira, thanks for the call. I do have to run. We're a little late. We have Ryan Rucco coming up, 2 o'clock hour, and Rooks and I got a lot to get to. He can do NBA, obviously the Yankees. He'll be calling some WNBA games as well. We've got a lot to get into. And I got to ask him a Star Wars question, too. So we got that coming up. But you know what? We used to do this at night on the Han Solo shows. We don't get to do it much often here. But it's a segment every now and then. You see a story and you're like,
give him the gas face.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that happens and you give it the gas face. So Dwight Howard, apparently somebody called and snitched on Dwight Howard for not wearing a mask. And Dwight went public about that. This is in the bubble. He's at the snitch line of the NBA. So I went public with it, and in the LA Times, he has a quote where he said, you know, instead of topics being about who's not wearing a mask in the bubble and who was at a DJ party and who wasn't, remember, he went to a party that they had a DJ throw and nobody else went, it was just him, and everybody laughed about that. You know, all this stuff seems entertaining, he says, but we're not going to forget what's going on around our world. These cops, one of the cops just posted a picture of himself at the beach. How could you not have a conscience? You just killed somebody. You're out on the beach with women. You killed women. You're out on the beach. Whatever. He goes on and on. You know that's not right. There's families out here mourning, white and black, who have been killed by cops, been killed through different things. The topic of the discussion is who doesn't have a mask on and people snitching. Let's not forget why we are here. And all I got to say to Dwight is this. How about using a socially charged issue to deflect accountability for you simply not wanting to wear a mask or being lazy about making sure it covers your face? I mean, really, if that's not a wag the dog, what is? I mean, come on, dude. Like, just, I mean, have some accountability. Why are you now going to use something like that and act like, well, don't pay attention to me breaking a rule because all this is going on, so don't look at me. Don't criticize me. Hey, Dwight, do me a favor. Put the mask on and no one will say a word. Simple as that. No one says a word. It's just a rule and you didn't follow it. Gas face.
Give him the gas face.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.